This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's a big town, tough town, and the fifth floor plays it that way. That's how reporter Fred Jacobs sees his city, the city of Chicago. If you spent time in the city, you know Jacobs is also talking about the office of the mayor of the city of Chicago. Jacobs is the creation of Michael Harvey. You'll come across Jacobs in Harvey's novel, The Fifth Floor, the follow-up to Harvey's first crime novel, The Chicago Way. The Fifth Floor begins with a murder in present-day Chicago, then winds its way back in time to the Great Chicago Fire. The protagonist is once again private investigator Michael Kelly. And it isn't long before Kelly finds a body. I'll share this with you from the description on the book's jacket. He finds a body and perhaps the answer to one of Chicago's most enduring mysteries. Who started the Great Chicago Fire and why? The ensuing investigation takes Kelly to places he'd rather not go, specifically City Hall's fabled fifth floor, where the mayor is feeling the heat. In addition to his two novels, Michael Harvey is an award-winning journalist and documentary film producer. He's the co-creator, writer, and executive producer of the A&E nonfiction television series Cold Case Files. And Michael Harvey is my guest in this portion of the program. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Well, what inspired you to look back at the Chicago Fire through the eyes of a contemporary private investigator?
Good question. It actually harkens back to my role as in my career as a documentary producer. A couple years back, I was doing research for a possible documentary project I was thinking of doing on the fire. And in the course of doing that research, you go back and you look at a lot of things. And I was in the Chicago Historical Society looking at a lot of primary source materials, diaries, letters, all kinds of stuff from the fire. And as I read the personal accounts of these people, I realized that so many of them, some of them were big stories, some of them were small stories, and a couple of things I realized right away. First of all, the letters and the diaries were wonderfully written. People back in 1871 could really write. And that's the first thing that struck me. The other thing that struck me was that many of these stories would make a great novel, a great film, just a great, they're just wonderful stories. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of tucked that away. This is like 5 or 6 years ago. And then as I sat down to think about the fifth floor and about what I wanted to do, I pulled out a couple of these stories, and I thought that it would be kind of fun to make this sort of the historical backdrop for a modern crime novel.
Yeah. Well, the Chicago Fire of 1871 is one cold case.
Yeah, it is. And when I read novels, I love to get a little bit extra than sort of in addition to the main story. If you can learn a little bit about a city or a place or a time, it's sort of some added value, and I always love that whenever I read a novel. And I thought it would be an opportunity for people to look at the fire in a little different light and maybe learn a little bit about the fire while also hopefully reading a good story.
Yeah. Why are we drawn to the private eye? What is it about that character that we like?
That's a good question. I guess I have to read it. My own personal opinion is, I guess that, it really goes back to the archetype of the Western hero. I think that's what a private eye to me is, just the old gunslinger in the West, except that he's in an urban setting. And as that setting evolves around him, sort of some of the trappings, evolve and the way that the person looks and the tools and instruments they have change. But I think that idea is the same thing, which is that it's kind of like one person, one man or one woman who has their own sort of code of ethics or laws. And sometimes they coincide with society's laws, sometimes they don't. But he or she is true to them and just perseveres through all kinds of obstacles to try and get to what he or she feels is the truth. And I think that's very attractive to a lot of people in this country. And I think it goes all the way back to the Western, actually.
Yeah. They're tough and they're resourceful. They're rugged. They can take a punch and come right back at you.
Well, yeah, that helps in the book.
Yeah.
Make them tougher than people really are. I mean, yes. I do a lot of work with real cops, and I will tell you, some of the things are very are typical of real cops. Some things aren't. Because for the dramatic premise, sometimes you telescope events, and you make things perhaps a little more dramatic than they usually are for a typical homicide detective.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you the understated nature of the way that a lot of these crime novels are written, sort of the sardonic humor and kind of the way that they look at the world, through sort of a gimlet eye, is very typical of a typical homicide cop in New York or L.A. or Chicago. Because they see so much of the world, they see so many bad things, they need that for themselves sort of as a shield against the horrible things that they see every day. And that much of it is very, very true.
Hmm. Well, now tell us about another one of the characters. Well, we haven't really talked specifically about Michael Kelly, but we've talked about the private eye. What kind of a guy is the mayor of this novel, John J. Wilson?
You know, John J. Wilson, I mean, the obvious thing is he Mayor Daley? That's one of the things that everybody has. Anytime you write about the mayor of Chicago, they're going to think of Daley, and they're going to think of the Daley dynasty. And there's certainly a lot of parallels. I would say he's not Mayor Daley, but he is. I've done, again, going back to my journalism documentary experience, I've done a lot of work as a journalist and as a documentary producer with all kinds of politicians and all kinds of levels of government. I did a documentary in the Clinton White House. I've done stuff with Congress and a lot of stuff in Washington. There's a lot of stuff at very local levels of government as well, including in Chicago. And I would say that one of the things that comes through that is that kind of runs through all levels of government is that people that are at the top levels with a lot of power they spend a lot of, I don't know how to put this, they just become very paranoid. They spend most of their time worrying about problems that don't exist. And they spend less and less time worrying about the problems that they actually get elected to fix. So I see that all the time, whether it's, again, in Washington, D.C., a small town or a big town like Chicago. The people at the top of the food chain, they spend a lot of time worrying about the other people around them. Who's after me? Who's going to get me? What problems are going to come up? Why are they after me? They create problems through this paranoia that weren't there in the first place, and then they have to confront them, and that's kind of what goes on in this book is that the mayor in this book is running around worrying about a problem that may not even exist, and in doing so he creates problems for himself, and that is very typical of the highest levels of government.
Yeah. What kind of vibe does one get on the fifth floor of City Hall in Chicago?
What kind of what? I'm sorry.
Vibe. What kind of, when vibe. You walk into that space, what's it like?
It depends what you're going there for. It's really not anything too dramatic. It's I don't know if you've ever been to City Hall, but it's a big old government building, and it's nothing so dramatic. I mean, I think the Mayor Daley himself, I think, has done a great job in the city, and I haven't had any situations where I have to be. I've never had any adversarial situation with the mayor as a journalist or as a documentary producer. So all of my conversations have been good ones, and it's been fine.
Hmm.
It's not nearly as intimidating as I make it out to be in the book, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. The city of Chicago is a great character in this book, and the day after the election, the city's tourism bureau began a campaign for promoting a tour it calls Presidential Chicago. How is Chicago feeling about itself today?
I think they're feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they're feeling pretty great. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I think that Chicago is, I grew up in Boston, and but I've been here for a couple decades now since I got out of college. And I would say Chicago often feels like they're overlooked. And in the middle of the country, I think, generally feels like it's overlooked, and that so much of the focus is on the two coasts. And so I think that this is an opportunity for Chicago and in the middle of this country to step up and say, hey, you know what? We've gone one way, we've gone another way. This is an opportunity for us to step forward and take a leadership position in Washington, D.C., and have some of these values that perhaps are representative of this part of the country come to the fore. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's what we hope is going to happen. I think it's also an opportunity for people in Chicago to showcase the city. And they're very proud of that, and they're very happy about it. Looking forward to, not only the Obama administration, but hopefully the Olympics beyond that, and a lot of good things.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to hear that newscaster in the not-too-distant future say we go now to so-and-so in Chicago, outside the Middle West White House.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah,
it really kind of is. I was driving down in Hyde Park the other day, and as you get near the president-elect's house, there's always been security there for a while, but now there's really a lot of security. I've done stuff in the White House before, and the security is always very high in the White House, but when the president shows up, or in this case the president-elect, it's just a tremendous ratcheting up even more of security. You can definitely see that in that neighborhood. And you know, it was it's they reroute you through streets and things like that. But it's kind of, it really is kind of exciting, and I think for a lot of people, still hard to believe. Maybe come January 20th, it'll all sink in, but it still is a little bit hard to believe. I think given where he was and where he is right now, I think it's a wonderful story.
Yeah. Quick last question. I have to ask for a quick answer. Follow-up to The Fifth Floor?
Yes. Actually, I'm working on it right now.
Okay.
It's a nice break for me. It's called, right now, it's the working title is called The Third Rail. And it's about, as you can maybe imagine, there's a killer loose in the CTA and in the subway. And it's another Michael Kelly novel, and he gets involved in it, and a lot of things going wrong underneath the city, so he's trying to sort them out.
Michael Harvey, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Michael Harvey is the author most recently of The Fifth Floor. He's also the author of The Chicago Way. The Chicago Way is now available in paperback. The publisher, Knopf.